Today we're reading from Canto 3, chapter number 2, and the verses 31 to 32. So 31 verse doesn't have a purport, so I'm just going to recite the Sanskrit in translation, and then together we're going to do 32, please. Verse 31, translation. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were perplexed by great difficulties because a certain portion of the Yamuna was poisoned by the chief of the reptiles, Kaliya. The Lord chastised the snake king within the water and drove him away. And after coming out of the river, he caused the cows to drink the water and proved that the water was again in its natural state. Text 32. Translation. The Supreme Lord Krishna desired to utilize the opulent financial strength of Maharaj Nanda for worship of the cows, and also he wanted to give a lesson to Indra, the King of Heaven. Thus he advised his father to perform worship of Go, or the pasturing land and the cows, with the help of the learned Brahmanas. Purport. Since he is the teacher of everyone, the Lord also taught his father Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was a well-to-do landholder and owner of many cows, and, as was the custom, he used to perform yearly worship of Indra, the King of Heaven, with great opulence. This worship of demigods by the general populace is also advised in the Vedic literature, just so people can accept the superior power of the Lord. The demigods are servants of the Lord, deputed to look after the management of various activities of universal affairs. Therefore, it is advised in the Vedic scriptures that one should perform yajñas to appease the demigods. But one who is devoted to the Supreme Lord has no need to appease the demigods. Worship of the demigods by common people is an arrangement for acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, but it is not necessary. Such appeasement is generally recommended for material gains only. As we have already discussed in the second canto of this literature, one who admits the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to worship the secondary demigods. Sometimes, being worshipped and adored by less intelligent living beings, the demigods become puffed up with power and forget the supremacy of the Lord. This happened when Lord Krishna was present in the universe, and thus the Lord wanted to give a lesson to the King of Heaven, Indra. He therefore asked Maharaj Nanda to stop the sacrifice offered to Indra and to use the money properly by performing a ceremony worshipping the cows and the pasturing ground on the hill of Govardhan. By this act, Lord Krishna taught human society, as he has instructed in the Bhagavad Gita also, that one should worship the Supreme Lord by all acts and by all their results. That will bring about the desired success. The Vaishyas are specially advised to give protection to the cows and their pasturing ground or agricultural land instead of squandering their hard-earned money. That will satisfy the Lord. The perfection of one's occupational duty, whether in the sphere of duty to oneself, one's community, and one's nation, is judged by the degree to which the Lord is satisfied. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas personally present here in the temple room and those which are watching online. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavabhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindaki jai. Hare Krishna. So we can see in these last verses, or generally in this chapter, remembrance of Lord Krishna, how very beautifully all these different aspects of glories of Krishna actually coming on the surface. How all these individual interactions with devotees, well-wishers, followers, demons alike, how it's coming on the surface and how many different jewels of Krishna's personality are coming more and more in the forefront. We can speak slightly about the 31st verse, which basically speaks at the pastimes of Kaliya. We can see how Kaliya, the serpent king, he understood that his only greatest enemy was actually Garuda. But we know that the pastime was that Garuda was actually prohibited to go in one of the limbs of Yamuna. There's a specific lake, and Garuda was actually prohibited by a curse by one great sage. Do anyone know the name of that sage? I forgot. Anyway, so this sage, he cursed Garuda. And it's interesting how all these different varieties of pastimes, how they have different layers to it. So Krishna is accomplishing varieties of aspects of either practicality, but simultaneously different aspects of relationship with these devotees by simply performing one particular pastime. So I was thinking this particular purport in the verse 32 is very much packed with very beautiful points by Srila Prabhupada. But we can also churn and we can also see different aspects of reasoning behind these beautiful pastimes. So one of the reasons of Kaliya pastime is that it just shows us that how even amongst asuric setting, even in a setting which is full of seeming tamasic modes, there is actually a possibility to practice Krishna consciousness. So in the pastimes of Kaliya, we can see how the Nagapatnis, they step forward, and only by the mercy of the devotees, this great serpent Kaliya got actually saved. And we can see how in these pastimes there are layers and layers and layers of deeper understanding of what Krishna wants to achieve. One of interesting pastimes in this Kaliya pastime is that, which is, we may almost actually lose the concept how even different varieties of paraphernalia connected to Krishna are individual personalities. So I think I mentioned this some years ago, that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he actually speaks about the journey of the Kastuba gem. That when Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, there was one section when actually the Kastuba gem fell from the neck of Krishna, and it found its way into the treasury of the Nagapatnis in the kingdom of Kaliya, and it went into one of the treasures. And then afterwards, when Kaliya was pacified, when all that anger and greed and poison was taken away by Krishna dancing on his hoods, then the Nagapatnis and Kaliya including, and all the family members of Kaliya, actually offered varieties of paraphernalia to Krishna. And it is mentioned there that the Kastuba gem had this desire to be again offered to the Lord. So it shows that there is innumerable layers to Krishna's pastimes. Let me ask you a question. Can anyone share with me what do you think are the layers or intricacies of the Govardhan Leela? The intricacies of why Krishna, for instance, lifted Govardhan. The intricacy of why he desired to chastise Indra. Can anyone know? Just one or couple of examples. Why is the reason that Krishna lifted Govardhan or perform all this yajna? Yes?
That he can give everyone shelter.
He can give everyone shelter. Yes? Anything else? Srinivas Prabhu?
Well, the chastise Indra was to cut down his pride.
Cut down Indra's pride, yes?
And Bhakti Vikas Maharaj comments that Indra's pride was that he couldn't digest Krishna lifting God and hill because he wanted the residents to worship him.
Mm.
So he mentioned our pride is that we are thinking we are the body.
Mm. Okay, thank you.
To gather all the gopis together and have them in close proximity to him.
That's one of the interesting reasons there, yes. So the acharyas are commenting that Krishna on many occasions is actually very much separated from varieties of devotees in Vrindavan. There's always a point of time when he's separated from Nanda Maharaj, from Mother Yashoda, he's separated from the gopis, he's separated from the gopas. There's a time scale in his Ashta Lila throughout the day that he's separated through certain parts of his devotees. So this is a very interesting concept where actually the acharyas are explaining that all these pastimes are actually manifestations of Krishna's desires. There is this very beautiful book, Damodar Janani, and you know we had some time ago Damodar, month of Damodar, and there it very nicely explains that when Krishna woke up initially in the morning, his desire was like, today I would really like to relish the pure love of Mother Yashoda. I would like to know how it is to be bounded by pure unalloyed love of my mother. And Yogamaya was like, say no more. I can do that. So what she does, she's actually the greatest manager and the greatest person who actually facilitates Krishna's pastimes. So on the particular time when the Govardhan Leela happened, Krishna was actually desiring to have all the Vrijabhasis, all the cows, all the inhabitants of Raj in one place. So he can just relish the situation being with them. So what it shows is that, yes, there is tattva, yes, there is lila, but ultimately the predominant feature of Vrindavan is rasa, is actually taste, it's a mellow, it's a desire of Krishna. So all these wonderful and splendid pastimes which we are reading about, they're actually manifestations either of the devotees or Krishna himself. So, and Prabhupada very nicely writes here that, let me find this. He therefore asked Maharaj Nanda to stop the sacrifice offered to Indra and to use the money properly by performing ceremony worshipping the cows and the posturing ground on the hill of Govardhan. So we can actually go through the purport, and Prabhupada is listing quite a few points why this particular pastime happened. Prabhupada is listing varieties of reasons behind all these beautiful manifestations. And one of the interesting concepts is that when Krishna was actually instructing Nanda Maharaj, it was not that this is immediate instruction only for Nanda Maharaj, but this is instruction which will be generationally utilized as a point of reference for us, for the dwellers of the age of Kali. We can see how that Vedic philosophy can present varieties of interesting concepts. The Vedas, they can facilitate actually consciousness of devotees. The Vedas can facilitate the consciousness and desires and needs of individuals. But here it is said, Krishna is giving that instruction through Nanda Maharaj to us. Just like he gave the instruction to Krishna for our benefit. Just like Shukadev Goswami gave the instruction to Parikshit Maharaj for our benefit equally. So one of the great position of pure devotees or immediate associates of Krishna is that Krishna is utilizing them to actually deliver the message. Yogamaya creates the situation and the devotees, they're playing their part for our benefit. So here we can extrapolate the fact that how demigod worship is actually not necessary. Kartik Chandra Prabhu once mentioned something which always sticks with me, and the question is that, does a man who's drowned himself in Ganga, Does he require to take purificatory bath? So someone who drowns in Ganga, does he have to take a bath for purification? So similarly, the process of Krishna consciousness is on such a caliber and such a value that naturally when you're connecting yourself to the source of all those blessings, why is there to go to all these demigods? You see, many times, and it's becoming quite popular on the streets, you see the concept of paganism. Did I pronounce it correctly? Paganism. So what actually paganism just means is just a demigod worship. This concept of paganism is very much in the historical way, it was predominant in Europe, very much so. And if you look throughout the history of the planet, you can see different cultures having this presence of demigod worship. Because why? Because they can understand the value of varieties of elements. They can understand the value and power of sun, the wind, the mother nature, right? Gaia and all these different concepts. The energy of the trees and cosmos and whatever it may be. In the Vedic literature, it's very scientifical because we recognize that behind that power is a person. But even beyond that person is the Supreme Person. So one of the beautiful concepts of the Vedic tradition is that it encapsulates all the forms, shapes, and possibilities to facilitate our consciousness. Some people are just not ready to worship a singular entity. Some people are just not ready to go beyond the individualistic worship of the demigods. But here, because we don't have that much time, we are living up to the age of 60, 70, 80 at best. In the past, there are many, many pastimes when all these different varieties of worshippers, they've been worshipping their respective deities. They've been worshipping Surya, they've been worshipping Vayu, Chandra, varieties of these demigods. And ultimately, when they're intelligent enough, they request, what is the greatest boon that you may offer to me? What is the greatest boon that you, Suryadev, may offer to me? What is the greatest boon that you, Chandra, Shiva, may offer to me? And ultimately, it comes to the point that I will reveal who is my worshipable deity. Just like in the pastimes of Shiva, there was one Shiva Bhakta who was requesting, Shiva, please give me the greatest boon you can deliver to your follower, to your worshipper. And what he did? He said, go to the land of Raj and worship and spend time with this particular personality. And I believe that was a Sanatana Goswami. And he can deliver Krishna Bhakti, Chaitanya Bhakti to you. Because even the demigods are worshipping someone. So those of you, of us, which have that particular nature and inclination, we should learn that even behind these great administrative positions, there is obviously, as Prabhupada mentions, we have already discussed in the second canto of this literature, one who admits the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to worship the secondary demigods. And Prabhupada again and again emphasizes the fact that we don't necessarily feel negative about them, but rather we don't just put so much emphasis on worshipping them. And it's interesting because even these demigods, they themselves are making the statements that I actually worship Govinda. So what are the Durga Devi or Shiva or Ganesh or Surya, all these different personalities, then themselves make statements throughout the scriptures. There are so many Shiva worshippers, and you just go to Shiva Purana. It's just so clear. Shiva Purana actually says that you, the Supreme Lord, you instructed me. So if someone is supreme, why he should take instructions? Unless those instructions are based on love and relationship. So it's very much clear. We can share another certain points. Here Krishna also presents the point of utilization, or basically yukta vairagya. In the translation to some of these words, it is said that Go-sevana, go-savena, by worship of the cows. Go-parajam, the king of cowherds. Dvija-uttamai, by the learned brahmanas. Vitasya, of the wealth. So here it is said, and Prabhupada actually finishes purpose in a very interesting way. He says something very profound. He says, the perfection of one's occupational duty, whether in the sphere of duty to oneself, one's community, or one's nation, is judged by the degree to which the Lord is satisfied. So this is a very important concept for us to kind of take shelter of, because it takes, actually it takes a lot of courage, it takes a lot of strength, it takes a lot of wisdom and a lot of focus to truly understand that our progress is judged by the degree by which Lord is satisfied. It's not an easy task in this modern society to guide our life based on the satisfaction of someone else. Because amongst the myths of altruism, which is visible to a certain degree in this modern day and age, is that even this altruism is extended self-satisfaction, right? There are so many videos on the internet how people go to poor people and just give them food and give them money, right? And then these poor people, they say, oh, I'm so grateful to you, such an amazing person. And then the person who's making the video is like, it's fine, you know, I just, you know, because I really love people, it's perfectly fine. You can see through the facade of this seemingly altruistic nature of individuals. But do we actually are able to develop the true grinding nature of understanding I'm doing this for Krishna? It's not so easy. It's not easy to do something when you are bringing to the table your own understanding, when you're bringing to the table your own concoctions, your own emotional baggage, your own understanding of what's happening. And then it is says, success is judged by the degree to which the Lord is satisfied. So when Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is easy, I don't know. Simple for the simple, complicated for the complicated. But the grinding, the interesting concept of this is that it's not about me, but it's about satisfaction of Krishna. And it's interesting that different personalities, they need different level of being pursued from different angles. So here we can see the aspect of Maharaj Nanda to be pursued is that his angle was that, but we've been doing this yaga for generations. I'm a Vaishya. This is our culture to offer the sacrifices to Indra. This is something that my ancestors, my forefathers have been doing. So how he was pursued? Krishna came with varieties of intellectual reasoning. And he said, my dear father, actually we should be very grateful to Govardhan because we are a cowherd community. And look what Govardhan is giving us. He's giving us precious jewels. He's giving us water, fresh pastures for the cows to be nourished by. He's giving us shelter, varieties of all these aspects. So we should worship Govardhan. So even in Krishna consciousness, we should understand that there is something which is able to give us a direction as well. We may not necessarily have direct association of Krishna or the words of encouragement and direction from Krishna as Nanda Maharaj had. But what makes us to change our ways and to change our path? That's the real question. Is it a person? Is it some type of literature? Is it type of a service? What is that that allows us to change our viewpoints? In other ways, in other question, where is our faith invested in? So if you go through layers of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can understand that what it actually does, it's presenting through leelas, through pastimes, through experiences, through sharing the individual relationships of these great personalities with Krishna, it giving us opportunity to see where we are feeling comfortable to invest our faith in, to adjust ourselves. Because the whole process of Krishna consciousness is actually a process of adjustment. But the question is how fast we are to adjust and how willing we are to adjust. To Nanda Maharaj, it took him 3-5 minutes with Krishna. For us, it may be lifetimes. But we should identify in our Krishna consciousness what allows us to adjust ourselves. Is it your spiritual master? Is it the lines of Srila Prabhupada, his classes, his morning walks? Is it the service that you perform to the deities? Is it the service of Sankirtan? Whatever it may be, what allows you to be adjusted in your life? Because one thing is for sure, and that is for sure, we will not be able to take our mental speculation to the spiritual world. Our mental perspectives on Krishna consciousness, we will not be able to take to the spiritual world. So what is happening in the modern day and age is that people are struggling with dealing with reality due to their mental concoctions in life and their perspective on life. And what you see more and more, and what people struggle more and more, is that the tide of material life will not adjust itself just because you are struggling with it. So similarly, and more than that, this means the same thing for spiritual reality. The spiritual reality will not adjust to your and ours mental concepts of life. Does it make sense? I mean, you are more aware of, you know, the realities of what are happening outside. This whole, you know, woke civilization. People are really mentally struggling with understanding who they are more than ever. And you will not understand until you're not there on the streets and you see it, the illusion that people are in. So what Krishna consciousness offers is not painstaking adjustment, but rather adjustment through devotional service. So what does it mean? It means that we are getting trained for spiritual world. We are getting trained to understand that Krishna's desires are in the forefront. We are getting trained to actually leave our understanding of the reality behind and adjust ourselves for spiritual reality. So you can judge for yourself in your introspective time. What is that you struggle with the most? What is that gives you the most difficulties and challenges to absorb? What is that breaks us from this flow of Krishna consciousness? And ultimately, that's where the real magic actually lies in. That's where we all hanker for some spiritual magic. We all hanker for some special times. When we read Prabhupada's Lilamrita, when we read all these magical moments in the early stages of establishing Krishna consciousness in the West, in ISKCON, we can see all those crazy magical moments. But the only reason this magic happens is if you allow yourself to be adjusted and put yourself in that adjusting situation. Prabhupada writes in the purport, By this act Lord Krishna taught human society, as he has instructed in the Bhagavad Gita also, that one should worship the Supreme Lord by all acts and by all their results. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So I'll read that again. By this act, Lord Krishna taught human society, as he instructed in the Bhagavad Gita also, that one should worship the Supreme Lord by all acts, by all their results. That will bring about the desired success. The Vaishyas are specifically advised to give protection to the cows, their pasturing ground or agricultural land, instead of squandering their hard-earned money. So, it's interesting that how in a simple sentence Prabhupada can dismantle not only practicalities of modern life, but sort of bring some reflection on it simultaneously. So majority of our community, are they Vaishyas? Are we Vaishya-orientated community? Are we devotees which are able to put ourselves in a position to protect the cows, maintain the land? The fact is, there's only very minute amount of devotees or personalities which are able and willing to actually go down this path, because it's not easy. It's not easy to maintain the cows. It's not easy to live from the land. It's not easy. But what it offers life in more mode of goodness and more direct connection with Krishna. I mean, no one needs to tell us that there's difference when you work from 9 to 5 in an office job, in a small little kind of like a cubicle in front of a computer screen all the time. And then if you work on the farm with cows, with the land. I mean, I'm not judging or anything. I myself, I'm not ready to do that stuff. I'm just putting perspective. But that's what it actually means to be here for the satisfaction of the Lord. It means adjustment. It means painstakingly adjustment ourselves. So yeah, just to sort of a wrap up, and we can open some time for questions. So in these two verses, in the verse of describing Kaliya, and the beauty that how these personalities, these cowherd boys, how they actually wanted to be saved by the Lord. So sometimes the desire of a Vaishnava, of a devotee, is even greater than the desire of the Lord. And then the Yoga Maya facilitates that desire. And then we discuss the verse 32, where Prabhupada is emphasizing the need for adjustment and the need of understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how varieties of pastimes have multiples of layers. And it's interesting that if you actually study also the commentaries of the Vaishnava Acharyas, you see how they're actually offering these layers, how they're actually presenting, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his way of presenting is that he actually enters the minds and the heads and the consciousness of the individual participants, and he offers a perspective of what do they think, what is their sort of a emotional impetus to act in this pastime. So yeah, Hare Krishna. If there are any points, any reflections, devotees would like to share anything. Parajana Prabhu? Maybe he can have a microphone, please.
Very interesting, this pastime of Govardhan and all the preparations that they laid out. I remember Prabhupada explaining, how do we know what Krishna likes to eat? And in that pastime, they describe all the preparations. Now, I tell you why I say that. Somebody at our Namaha group in the 90s, he said, why can't we offer Krishna our beer?
Beer?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I said, well, generally, it's written that things that we are allowed to offer. So in terms of Govardhan, there are all sorts of preparations that are described. And we basically should only offer what Krishna likes. And we, from that pastime, we actually know what Krishna likes to eat. And a similar controversy happened over pizzas in, I remember, Mayapur. Should we be all the people at Guru Puja weren't attending Guru Puja. They were all eating pizzas out in the yard there at the time of thing. And it was brought up that is it a good thing that all these sort of other things that we offer to Krishna should be accepted, because Krishna didn't say he wants a pizza. He didn't want this and that. And then Subhag Maharaj, he says, we can find out what Krishna likes. And what we should do is offer him rice, dal, chapatis, kachoris, all these sort of things. He says, now, this is the way of knowing, instead of going to the courtyard and taking pizzas.
Thank you, Prabhu.
It was a bit classic.
Thank you, Prabhu. Vidura, for instance, offered to Krishna banana leaves. So ultimately, what Krishna wants. In my humble opinion, simultaneously there's that concept that are we fully on the line what Krishna wants and are fully there that we can fully mirror Krishna's desires. Krishna wants that everyone performs Harinam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya wants that everyone performs Harinam Sankirtan. How many of us perform Harinam Sankirtan? So I think there's almost degree and layer of fulfilling Krishna's needs and Krishna's desires. Pizzas are there somewhere. But let's start with the pinnacle desires of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya's desires. That is Harinam Sankirtan. And if we can check that one, then we can work on the pizzas, I would say.
I was just thinking, it's actually, I remember Bal Gopal pointing out to me that why do they offer pizza and also with yeast? Because Prabhupada says don't use yeast. But there again, she said sometimes in terms of a feast or a celebration, we do have a pizza.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's just practical.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhupada.
We're giving the devotees what they like too.
Yes.
It's pleasing to them.
Thank you, Prabhu.
All right.
Thank you. Is that a question or a comment you asked, Prabhu? Can we have the mic, please?
You mentioned in your class about surrender to Krishna can be difficult because people don't go direct to Krishna, they go through demigods. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a comment. He says that if you're 100% sincere, then Krishna himself will guide you. If you're harboring a certain mentality, according to what you want to do independently, according to that, you get guidance according to that mentality. So it seems to show that Prabhupada said you can surrender in 1 second or it can take millions of lifetimes. What we are not letting go of, according to that.
That's why Vedic literature is so vast. Why? Because our desires and needs are so vast. So the Vedic literature can facilitate your desire to drink alcohol. The Vedic literature can desire your desire to drink in meat. Your Vedic literature can facilitate your promiscuity. The Vedic literature can facilitate many things. Why? Because the way Vedic literature functions is that mirrors your consciousness, but it always offers this, it puts this in the equation of some form of regulation for your benefit. Ultimately, there is, if you follow Vedic literature and still mirroring your consciousness, there's still something which regulates you and just kind of eases you down your desires. So even like we discussed, eating meat, right? Once a month, or you know, on the full moon, or for instance, being promiscuous, do it in a certain way. Why? Because it understands your needs and your sort of your desires, but do it in a regulated way. Obviously, that's not the path which is laid out for the cult of Chaitanya Vaishnavism and what Prabhupada inaugurated. Nevertheless, it's there in the Vedic literature for a reason. Because Vedas, they function on the way of step-by-step elevation of consciousness. But this, it's not for us. For us, it's the direct path of Krishna Bhakti. Any other points, other questions? Roman Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Thanks so much for the class, Prabhu. I might even have two small questions, but depending on if anyone else has other questions. So one question was on the demigod worshipping. So we learned that when one worships the Supreme Lord, all the duty of worshipping demigods is already fulfilled. But it seems like in previous ages, although they were quite advanced, they still did the demigod worship, and we can even see that a great devotee like Nanda Maharaj did demigod worship. So how come they still worship the demigods? I was just wondering.
In Brahma Samhita, with the commentaries of Jiva Goswami, and in Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj, there's a section, and I was listening to class by Tamakrishna Maharaj, which actually says that there are demigods in the spiritual world. There are demigods, but these demigods, they are devotees which take a position of, like, in the spiritual world, it's still a Vaishya community. Krishna is a cowherd boy, the father is king of Raj. So it's a Vedic / Vaishnava setting. But there are these prototype demigods which take that position for the sake of almost like Vedic facilitation of the path in the land of Raj. So it's still a Vedic setting. So demigod, and these demigods are, as everything is a perverted reflection of the inner spiritual world. So you see, even Krishna was not always necessary predominant worshipable deity throughout the ages. See, what we have, I think we have also tendency to forget that Krishna Bhakti is also very unique and very, very sensitive sort of a perspective. Because if you look at Bhagavatam, so many demigods being perplexed about Krishna. And that's in this age. So Vayu was perplexed, Varuna was perplexed, Indra was perplexed, Brahma was perplexed. So many demigods being perplexed about position of Krishna. So naturally, as the ages are happening, people been worshipping demigods, people been worshipping Vishnu. The reason why Brahma couldn't recognize Krishna is because his worshipable deity, Brahma's worshipable deity, and this is interesting, is actually Vishnu. Even in Surya, Surya's worshipable deity is Vishnu. There's Surya Narayan, which, you know, is the source of all that energy of the sun. So the worshipable deity of all these demigods is on many occasions form, you know, like Vishnu form. And then when Krishna appears, and then when it is said that Krishna is actually the source, the avatari, you know, the source of all these incarnations, then for them is like, really? And then it has to be established. And that's what Krishna did throughout the Bhagavatam. He was establishing that I am actually the source of all the Vishnu Tattva. So there's no, yeah, the worship of demigods in the past, it's a normal thing. Because Krishna Bhakti is a very rare activity to actually achieve. That would be my answer. Karam Prabhu?
So you mentioned about pleasing the Supreme Lord, but sometimes we have an intention to please someone, but we don't end up pleasing them. So I was just thinking, how do we know if our activities are pleasing the Lord?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know, because this is the question I was asking myself. What are the factors of reciprocation of the Lord that He is pleased with us? And I don't know. I actually don't know. Because sometimes the more you serve Krishna, the more difficulties are coming. The more responsibilities, the more challenges, the more... And then you're thinking, is this the way you reciprocate with me trying to serve you? All these challenges and unnecessary things happening in our life. Is this what it means to that you are pleased? But there's one interesting saying, and it goes that, like, what you pray for, we pray for humility, we pray for tolerance, we pray for spiritual strength, we pray for love, we pray for detachment, we pray for all these varieties of things. So let me ask you a question. If you ask for humility, what do you get? What do you get when you ask for humility? You will get humbled. You will get humiliated. Because this is what you ask for. Krishna will not give you the character. He will give you the opportunity for you to develop the character. So when we ask for blessings, the blessings, they will not just boom and sprout and manifest. The blessings come as a part of the process. So when we ask him for, you know, detachment from the material world, it's not like just boom, you have it, you're detached. Krishna puts you in a position where you almost, to a certain degree, forced to be detached, where detachment is your only option. When we ask for dedication and clarity in life, Krishna puts us in a situation of full-on confusion. So we may figure out what is clear, what is truth and what is not the truth. So it almost feels that Krishna's blessings are kind of a bittersweet. But it's nice. In a sense, it's nice because when we ask for strength, we don't know how strong we are until we're put in this position where strength is our only option. And this is interesting. We ask Krishna, please allow me to be strong in my devotional practice. And then Krishna makes you to reach the bottom of where your strength lies in. So, I don't know. It's pretty tough. So be careful what you pray for, I guess. Be careful what kind of a blessings and benedictions we're asking from Krishna. Because he just might give it to us. Hare Krishna. Any other points, questions, comments? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaura Premanande.